Okay, I think we'll go ahead and start, and Sarah will be here in a few minutes. Elisa, if you want to go ahead and
take a breath
and then take your seat as chair for the day.
Is that on? There we go. Would you like me to go ahead and call this meeting to order? Good morning, everyone. I'm Elisa Benson, representing County of Santa Cruz, and I am going to be, as vice chair, calling this meeting to order. Santa Cruz County Animal Services Joint Powers Authority agenda, and we are here in Watsonville today. Can you please take the roll?
Chief Sarah Ryan. Vice Chair Benson.
Present.
Secretary Manning.
Present.
Member Templeton.
Present.
Member Thole.
Present.
Member Rutherford.
Present.
Member Baldwin?
Present.
Member Garcia?
Present.
And Member Freenan?
Present.
Welcome.
All right, our second item today is introductions. I'm not exactly sure who's supposed to be introducing anyone, or is this items you would like us to introduce?
Emily,
you might be muted.
Oh, am I?
There you go.
Sorry. Emily, did we introduce you at the last meeting? Okay, so we do have an introduction. Emily Feenan is the new representative from the second representative from the County of Santa Cruz. And Emily works in health. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself and your position.
Yeah, I'm the director of nursing for Public Health Division in the Health Services.
And I guess I should introduce myself since formally this is my first meeting. So my name is Elisa Benson. I'm Assistant County Executive Officer. I'm replacing Nicole Coburn, given her new role, and excited to be here and be part of this universe. So with that, any staff you would like to introduce, are we good for today?
We are good for today.
All right, I'm going to move us along to item number three, consideration of late additions or changes to the agenda. Anything for us?
There are no significant changes. There is one typo on item six regarding staffing. There's a comment about the number of RVT incentive packages, and that was meant to say the third package will be awarded rather than the fourth package of five will be awarded. And then the other thing is we'll be adding the slides that I'll be presenting today to the packet after the meeting.
Wonderful. I think everyone can note that for themselves. We are now to oral communications. Any person may address the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Board of Directors during the oral communications period. All oral communications should be directed to items or issues that would be within the jurisdiction of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter, but not on today's agenda. Board members will not take actions or respond immediately to oral communications presented, but may choose to follow up either individually or on a subsequent agenda. With that, it looks like we do have a speaker present for that. Please feel free to go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Melissa Finley. I run Heading Home Animal Rescue. We're a local nonprofit that has been partnering for quite a long time with the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter. We often take in animals that would otherwise be euthanized. We provide barn cat placements and also TNR services to the community. I'm here today to note that the summary shelter intake and outcome statistics that had previously been posted each year to the shelter website haven't been updated since 2023. I reached out to Amber to see when we might expect that those would be updated. Haven't heard back. So I'm here to essentially ask here when we might expect to see that data provided to the public. It's obviously very important for transparency reasons to be able to see that and kind of have comparison points for each year to see what we're experiencing and what's actually happening. So I'm checking in with you guys and to also request that not be overlooked in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment today. Do we have, go ahead.
Good morning, hi, Gary Bencomo. I'm the Vice President of the Board of Directors of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Foundation. Just a couple of quick points I wanted to make this morning. First of all, I wanted to thank this board for inviting the foundation to be part of the strategic planning process. We appreciate the fact that we're recognized as key stakeholders in this process, and we were involved in the two-day offsite last week and beginning the project, and we look forward to our ongoing involvement and how the project progresses from here. So again, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of that. The other point I wanted to make was just to point out in your packet, there is a piece in your packet. I won't ask you to worry about looking at that now, but there's a marketing piece, and I just wanted to just give you just a quick bit of context and sort of why that there, what's that about. The foundation, as you might imagine, we spend a fair amount of our effort communicating with the public, donors, et cetera. We often get questions about who's the foundation, why do you exist, what do you do with your monies, et cetera. So this marketing piece was recently developed by the foundation as a way to try to address that, if you will, sort of a calling card to the foundation, to the community. So we intend to use this publicly in digital form, et cetera. So if you have the opportunity, we appreciate it. If you take a look at that, and certainly any comments, we'd appreciate. So again, thank you.
You'll find I'll that finish up the public comment. Do we have any public comment online?
No, we do not.
All right, then. I am going to pass the gavel over to Chair Ryan for moving on to the consent agenda.
Thank you. I apologize for my tardiness. So we've just finished communications from the public, and we will be moving on to the consent agenda. Is that's accurate? Okay, just blazing in here. Do we have a motion to approve? Go ahead.
Why don't we see if we have anyone has questions about that, and then we'll ask for public comment on the. Do we need to take public comment as consent agenda separate from the public comment we already had? Okay, so maybe first questions for other members of the board.
Are there any questions for members of the board? Seeing none? Okay. Have we taken comments on the consent agenda? I apologize, I'm coming in. We did. Okay. Do we have a...
We need to take comments.
I'm sorry, I thought you said we did. Are there any comments from the public on the consent agenda items? Seeing none? Anything from the board? Seeing none? Okay, do we have a motion to approve the items 5 through 14 on the consent agenda?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, we will move on. All right, let's move on to the regular agenda, the general manager's report. Amber?
Thank you. Hopefully you can see that on your screens. All right. So in early December, the foundation put a wonderful holiday party on for staff at the Painted Cork, and we got to see a different side of our staff's talents. So that was a lot of fun. We worked with the sheriff's office to do a social media shoot with officers and shelter pets to promote holiday adoptions. We had an Empty the Shelters adoption special. Our clinic team got to dote on a particularly wonderful cat named Mara, who had a horrible injury that took a really long time to heal. But luckily, she was a great cat, and she just got adopted into a new home, which was great. She's also FIV positive, and the cat in her new home is also FIV positive. So they were specifically looking for an FIV positive cat to join their family. So that was a wonderful story for Mara. Let's see. And then the foundation arranged our participation in Santa Cruz Gives, the big community-wide fundraiser, a winter wine stroll, and another wonderful bedtime stories event where we invite members of the public to come in and read to the animals, which is soothing for the animals and also kind of a cool way to get kids into the shelter and parents in to have a kind of a positive little awareness and interface with the shelter. Let's see, we also worked with Supervisor Koenig's office in December and January to raise awareness about the damage that uncontrolled dogs can do to wildlife and tidal flats ecosystems, especially during king tide events. So we now have a little flyer about that, and we're trying to discourage folks from letting their dogs run roughshod in tidal flats because of the damage that they can cause. Our new volunteer coordinator, Leslie Haddad, really hit the ground running. She introduced 64 of the California Conservation Corps members from the Salinas Center to the shelter. She taught them about jobs available in the animal sheltering and animal care and veterinary communities, or career settings, basically. And then we had two crews of 14 complete several projects over multiple days at the shelter. And we'll see some pictures of that later. That's them in the lower right of your screen. Leslie and our volunteer leaders also provided the full group of the Corps with training in the basics of our dog TLC program, volunteering program, so some will continue as regular volunteers. We have lined up some additional projects for them to complete later this spring. Overall, volunteers contributed 2,139 hours during December and 2,557 hours to the shelter during January. Dr. Bren White graced the nationally distributed humane education newsletter Kind News, a little article about the work that our clinic does. And the foundation launched the second annual Awkward Pet Portraits fundraiser. We are now in the artist's phase of that project, of that fundraiser, and I actually have an awkward pet portrait to complete myself this week. So that's on my to-do list at home. We did have a sad event at the shelter in January. A dog who'd been in our adoption program for a few weeks while being walked in the neighborhood by a volunteer came across a small dog. It was a crazy, just out of the blue circumstance. Our dog attacked and inflicted serious injury on the small dog, and that the dog is thankfully recovering after after treatment from that attack, and thankfully our volunteer did a great job of getting the dog separated and did not get hurt himself significantly. So there was really, it was kind of a no-fault thing. We did make the decision to euthanize that dog that was in our adoption program because we felt that her intensity and the intensity of her aggression and the difficulty of getting her to stop was too much and made her an unsafe placement candidate. So occasionally those things happen. They are hard on the volunteers. It's especially hard on the volunteer who was handling the dog. But we tried to communicate as openly and transparently as we could through that process, and also, you know, took the time to fully assess the dog before we made the decision. And we also wanted to take full accountability, so we have paid the veterinary bills for the smaller dog, and would hope that any dog that is, you know, inflicts that kind of injury would do the same, just be accountable to the injuries that were caused. So that was a sad little thing that happened, not little thing, but a sad thing that happened in January. But again, in the interest of transparency, those things do happen, and they are difficult for everybody to get through. But I think we did pretty well. In terms of staffing, we have one animal health specialist vacancy currently. We do have an approved candidates list, and the interviews are being scheduled right now. I think they may all be scheduled now. Two extra help animal services assistants, those are our client services folks, have accepted offers to join us. And Ava Berberich has been selected to fill our full-time substitute animal services assistant position. So we have one full-time person starting in client services and then two extra help folks starting in client services this month, which is fantastic. We have been unable to fill our full-time permanent RVT vacancy, and so we are going to reopen that position this coming Friday. If we can successfully hire for that position, we will apply the third of the five approved incentive packages for RVTs, and then a little later this spring, when Annie, our current but substitute RVT, takes a permanent role, we will apply that incentive package for Annie as well. It's a very confusing like thing with positions. So if anybody has any questions about that, I hopefully would be able to explain that. But that will all be happening sort of in February and March. And we're hoping we will successfully be able to hire a new RVT now that we have Leslie Haddad on our team. She has tons of connections in the veterinary community, so I'm hoping that that will help. We can leverage that to find a good candidate and fill that position. Let's see. We have worked with County HR to complete the separation of the animal control officer who's been on medical leave for almost 4 years. And so we actually just opened that position on Friday to the great relief of animal control because they've been very understaffed for a long time and have had a very heavy call load. And let's see, with our winter reduction animal population, the staff has remained very busy. They've been working on protocol updates, deep cleaning and reorganizing work, and cleaning storage spaces as well as deep cleaning in the animal housing areas. And they've also been catching up on trainings. Our animal care coordinators and staff are developing improved training documents and checklists for staff. And our client services coordinator, Jill, has been working on materials for a refresh of the adoption materials and processes. We'll be training on that on Wednesday with the staff. And then Helen developed the wonderful board member packets that you've been provided. I think that will hopefully be helpful for you. It provides a lot of background information, including all information about the newly updated Brown Act requirements and legislation. So thank you, Helen, for that. Let's see. As far as our statistics, as I mentioned, the intake of live non-wild animals once again decreased, which is expected in this time of the year. We took in 180 fewer animals this period than last period and 86 fewer than last year. Most of that was due to a reduced stray dog intake. Over last year. Our overall adoption numbers were down by 44 animals compared to the same period last year, but our adoption rate was still very impressive at 52.5% of our total outcomes. Notably, our euthanasia comprised a very low 7.9% of our outcomes during this period. Again, with the reduction in intakes, we were able to apply more resources to animals who might need a little extra support, and that allows us to bring our euthanasia numbers down a bit. With regard to facilities, AirTech completed the retrofit work on our HVAC system controls, which is, you know, deep facilities stuff, but super important for just regulating temperatures for staff and for animal visitors. We allocated $40,000 from our capital reserves budget, but the total came to about $33,500, so a little under budget, which is great. We did have to pump the brakes a little bit on re-roofing the annex because we needed to loop in the County General Services planning and facilities team on that. We've got some rain coming up. The roof is currently tarped. I think we may have to have, I asked our accountant to reach back out to the roofing contractors that we worked with to get the roof tarped to see if they can come out and double check it because we've got rain coming up in the coming weeks before our next animal balance clinic. And so I want to try to prevent additional damage until we can get that new roof going. Based on earlier estimates that we gathered, we're recommending authorization. We're recommending authorization of an expenditure of up to $28,000 from our B. Jean Adams Trust to go toward the re-roofing project. Let's see. I think I have a slide for that. Okay. Along the lines of facilities, we are working with County General Services to start initial scope planning for replacement of the barn and for the eventual redevelopment of the annex portion of the shelter property. I visited the Santa Clara shelter during January, and these are photos of their barn structure, and this is probably the route that we will go, is a modular barn with some portions of the floor being concrete, and then some improved fencing for the animal paddock areas. One thing that the Santa Clara shelter, they've been very generous in sharing their plans and their budget, the numbers basically from that project, which is great. One thing that I think we can do better is than they did is housing for fowl, and our bird residents are the most common users of our barn facility, so we really want to make sure that we get that right. And so that's where a little creativity will come in when it comes to a modular barn structure. Let's see, in November, Stokes Signs took our monument sign down and had it refinished, and now it's looking amazing. It's bright and refreshed. We paid for that with trust funding. We installed some sound-absorbing panels over some of the fencing surrounding the dog kennels to try to reduce barking noise for our neighbors, and our friends from the California Conservation Corps installed fresh gravel in our gravel beds, our gravel yards for dogs, and also these visual barriers in various of the dog yards. We're going to add some more of those at the Watsonville shelter. They do a much better job of reducing stress and reducing noise when dogs are out in the yards. We are in the planning stages, early planning stages, for some other trust-funded improvements, including we would like to replace the wooden gates that we have for volunteer access to the dog kennels with steel security gates because the weather really impacts the operational the operations of the wooden gates and locks on them. And then another thing, we're in the very early stages of talking with staff. I am in the very early stages of talking with staff about possibly replacing one wall of our cat condos with a different style of housing, which would give us a little more variability in our housing stock for cats, which would help us with some behavior issues and also with people being able to get to know the cats better because we have limited get acquainted spaces for cats. So those are in the early phases. At the Watsonville shelter, we have created a more private workstation for animal control, and the exterior improvements completed so far are working pretty well. There are a couple of more items we still need to clean up about that. I'm hoping that some of you will join me for a tour after this meeting. I sent out an invitation, probably too late, but if you can join us, it would be great, and you can check out the Watsonville shelter. But in the Watsonville shelter, we do still need to replace the counter, sink, and faucet in the animal kitchen, which is the photo on the left there. And we also need to improve the staff kitchen, which is also the grooming room and a cat intake area. So that kitchen does pretty heavy lifting. And I'd like to make some improvements to allow a little better separation between human food preparation areas and animal assessment areas in that one very small room, but I have some ideas for it. So that's something that we want to work on. I will likely recommend an expenditure later on this spring or possibly in the summer to bring in a shelter design consulting firm to help us evaluate what a comprehensive building remodeling would look like at Watsonville. And again, that will need to be informed by strategic planning because we need to know what the community wants us to do at that facility and what services we need to be offering there. And that has impacts on facility planning as well. I apologize, it's kind of a long presentation, but where we are in the year, it seems important to include all of this. If you're wondering what kind of a bite we're talking about taking out of your budget, although we finished the last fiscal year about $30,000 ahead, which is the first time that we haven't carried a deficit in 12 years, that was due very much to considerable salary savings, and we do not anticipate that for the remainder of this year or into next year. And we also received considerable unexpected bequest last year that we've applied to some operational expenses, so that helped us keep our expenses down. But due to the negotiated addition of Step 6 to all of our SEIU-represented employees and the addition of Steps 6 and 7 for our animal shelter titles in middle management, we expect that our salary and benefits expenses are going to just continue, are going up significantly. We also, with the capacity for care report that I shared in December, that report showed that we are a bit understaffed, and so we are going to apply some, we're hoping to be able to apply some trust funds to a position or two, but that may not be enough over the longer term. We also have not increased the size of our animal control unit in 20 years, I believe. So we have the same, our force has been the same size for 20 years, despite increases in calls for service and the increases in cruelty and neglect investigations and so on. We also have not had a fleet replacement plan, and our barn and our annex were not included in the the capital projects and maintenance plan that the shelter's been operating under for the last, I think, since 2017 at least. And so those items haven't really been considered in budget planning. And so those are things that I want to try to make sure that we're thoughtful about and that we're making plans for in the coming years. So since the JPA charter calls for full funding of our operations, we will again request an increase to member contributions of 15%. We understand that times are difficult and that budgets are tight. So we will also outline a 12.5% increase and a 10% increase will look like when we present a proposed budget in April at the April meeting. And down at the bottom there, you can see the sort of over time what the increases have been to member contributions to the JPA. So with an average increase per fiscal year of 5.27%. With regard to some upcoming events, our animal balance clinic will happen on February 20th through the 22nd. As of Friday, we had just 28 spots left. And then we've also got we're overbooked for volunteers now, thanks to Leslie's efforts. Then our first of nine planned Healthy Pets for All vaccine clinics will take place in Watsonville on February 27th, and then the next one will be on March 7th in Santa Cruz at the VFW Hall right across from the shelter. And then, as you know, the phase one of our strategic planning process is underway. Sarah Cohen has been conducting stakeholder interviews and continues to do some more. And then we had our mission, vision, and values workshop on February 2nd and 3rd. Sarah will be doing some additional stakeholder conversations, and then we'll also be doing some surveys, probably to include surveying people who attend our HPFA clinic and our animal balance clinic. That's our hope anyway. We hope we can get those prepared in time for those events. And then there will also be a community charrette that's planned for later this spring to help us develop our operational strategies and then also to get feedback on vision, and values. I cannot say that for the life of me. We've got some additional events coming up, especially we've got St. Pity's Week, which is always popular. We've got a big event in the Capitola Classic Skate Event with the Santa Cruz Boardroom, which was thousands of people come to that thing, so it's kind of crazy. But we have a presence there, and it actually is a fundraiser for the shelter. And then the other big one is the Top Dog Film Festival at the Rio Theater on March 21st. And then we also want you to make sure that you're saving the date for the September 26th Tales of Hope Gala. Trying to see if I make sure I covered everything. Thank you for your patience. And if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. And thank you, Helen, very much for this packet and all the updated Brown Act rules of engagement. Any questions for Amber from the board?
I just want to reiterate thanks, Helen, for the packet. As a new board member, I really appreciate having something that is tangible and I don't have to go find on a computer. So I really do appreciate this. And I will spend some time with it along with a cool sticker.
Thank you. Anything here to my right? No? Okay.
I do have a question. Okay. But I don't know if we go to public comment first or if we...
Your question.
Just quick question. Thank you so much. Great presentation. And I just want to recognize and appreciate you bringing that budget sneak peek. For that budget slide, it had through 2024. And so then last year, just to confirm, there was a 12.5% because it wasn't included in that orange bar at the bottom.
Sorry, last year was actually a 10% is what
10%.
Was approved.
Okay. Perfect. That's helpful. And just thanks for the very thorough presentation and giving that sneak peek now, because I know we're all in budget preparation season. So that's hugely helpful for us to be able to plan moving forward.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking for it.
And anything, my one comment I had is anything that you have on that, that as early as you can get it so that we can come to a meeting with you all prepared after we've spoken to our budget people. If our budgets are increasing with our organizations, that our contributions, I'm sorry. Is that what you're at? Maybe I'm confused.
I'm sorry, can you restate?
So we had an increase with our contributions as a JPA, and you're going to be coming back with some amendments to the budget requesting some increases. Is that accurate? Or maybe I'm not tracking.
No, what we will do in April is April is when we will present a proposed budget, and that what I'm telling you now as a sneak peek is that we will request another increase for member contributions starting in July on July 1st.
Perfect. Okay, great. No, April's great. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll do the proposed budget in April, and then in June is when a budget will be accepted.
Okay. And then in terms of the general manager's report, you guys just had a strategic planning retreat. Will that be at our next, some feedback from that be at our next meeting?
Yes. And in fact, you guys will probably hear more about that. I think we need to meet with Sarah again tomorrow. I think tomorrow we meet with Sarah again to regroup after the workshop. And so we'll be making plans for communicating out some of the results of the workshop, including a draft, drafts of vision and values, I believe. And that will most likely be shared with you sometime in the interim. And there may also be a survey that will go out or some kind of way for you to respond to the drafts and to provide some input. So there will be some interim communication, and then potentially there will be additional reporting at the April meeting.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
And just to quickly chime in on how it's going, we've had a really positive reaction to our consultant, Sarah. And so that's really great. We weren't quite sure how the feedback was going to go, and people seem really receptive to her, and she's made this experience that could be kind of stale pretty engaging. So we're hoping to have some good results.
Good. Good to hear that. Thank you. Okay, before we move on, is there any comments from the public regarding this last item number 15? No? Okay, seeing none. We will move to next regular agenda item 16. Back to you.
Hard to tell when this is on or off. Regular agenda item 16 is a recommendation to consider a services agreement with Animal Balance. We wanted to add this to December's meeting, but we got it in too late. So what we are hoping is that the board will approve a services agreement with Animal Balance in the amount of $126,000 so that they can provide three high-quality, high-volume, or HQHV community spay-neuter clinics, and give me authorization to sign that agreement. So there is a description in the agenda item that the Animal Balance is an international organization that they've now started doing more work stateside because of the shortage of veterinary professionals, and we've contracted with them the last 2 years to provide three clinics at our annex facility for community members, and community members do pay a fee to have their pet spayed or neutered, microchipped, and vaccinated, but it's a lower fee than they would normally expect at a private clinic, and that has made a considerable dent in the number of homeless pets that are coming into the animal shelter. So this item is seeking approval for us to enter into the contract, which is included in the packet as well.
Okay. Any public comment on this item before we move it to discussion? All right, seeing none. Any discussion from the board regarding this request in the amount of $126,000 for three high-quality, high-volume community spay and neuter clinics?
Okay.
Seeing none. Do we have a motion to provide permission to the general manager to move forward with this action?
I'll move the staff recommendation on item 16.
Okay, we have a first, we have a second.
I'll second.
All right, we have a second. Slow moving Monday after the Super Bowl. All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, seeing none. You shall proceed with your high quality spay and neuter clinic.
That is official terminology. Believe it or not, official medical terminology. And the only item of communication that we had was the one-pager from the foundation, and that is in correspondence section of your folders.
Okay. So we had one correspondence. All right, well, that will then move us to our next item, which is, go ahead.
Actually, I do with regard to correspondence, because we have several new members, and I'm not sure how many of you have served on other boards or commissions, if you receive correspondence from the community, please be sure to share that with Helen and I so that we can include it in the packet for the next meeting. Just want to make sure that everybody is aware that that is something that can be done and should be done, and And anything that I receive that is also directed to you, I will work to try to make sure that it gets into the packet, or if they let me know that they want the board to know about it, then it will get into the packet for the next panic. Did I just use the word panic instead of packet? Freudian slip. That will be included in the subsequent packet, board packet.
Thank you. And before we adjourn, you're going to be offering a tour of the Watsonville shelter directly after this. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Anybody who would like to join, who would like to meet us at the Watsonville shelter on Airport Boulevard, I will happily take you on a tour of that facility. I don't know how many of you have been in there or have seen it in any detail. I think I said in my email that the shelter was relatively empty, and we had two dogs at that shelter on Friday. I think as of this morning, we had 9 dogs. So it changes all the time. But yes, I will happily take anyone who wants to meet me at the shelter after this meeting on a tour. And I think, we'd probably be getting started right around noon. And I would anticipate it would take 30 to 35 minutes, depending on how many questions people have.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Amber and Helen. And with that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.